This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My apologies, everybody. I was in mid-sentence, and all of a sudden we had just had a drop connection, but I'm back here. Sal Capaccio with you on the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show at Wayland Brewing. Come on out. 3740 North Buffalo Road in Orchard Park. I am looking. They have breakfast here, too. We have the promotions team here giving away WGR merch. Come on by. You can spin the wheel. You can grab some stuff. And I'm looking over, and there's a beautiful bacon and egg sandwich over there. They got egg and cheese sandwiches, corned beef, egg, cheese on rye, loaded hash browns. Come on by if you want for lunch. How about this? And dinner. Fish fry all day fish fry here. Also, they want to let you know, Mondays, bingo. Wednesdays, trivia. Thursdays, burger specials. They got concerts and special events, a bocce league on Buffalo's Best Patty. I might have to actually join the bocce league. You ever play bocce? You ever play bocce? Vinette, you ever play bocce? Oh, my gosh. Am I the only bocce player here? You got to learn how to play bocce. All right. If you have a wedding season, they have a great spot here to have your wedding reception. It's really cool. Come on out here. It is Wayland Brewing, and it's on North Buffalo Road in Orchard Park. You can't miss it. Huge space, great drinks, great food, and, of course, all the games today on the NCAA March Madness tournament that's going to be starting and tipping off just after 12:15 p.m. Going to talk about that a little bit with Pat Mellicaro coming up here in just a second. Let me get you today's schedule real quick. Coming up at 12:15 p.m., our first tip-off is Baylor against Mississippi State. Then Robert Morris against Alabama. And, of course, Nate Oates, who used to be at University of Buffalo, the head coach at Alabama, there at 12:40 p.m. Lipscomb against Iowa State, the Bisons of Lipscomb, against Paul Hamilton's Iowa State team. Colorado State, Memphis after that. Mount St. Mary's takes on Duke. For all you Duke fans, that's a 2:50 p.m. tip time. I actually tweeted this out because I was thinking about this today because Rick Pitino, St. John's, he's doing a great job at St. John's. And I said, you know what? I wonder if Rick Pitino, I'm thinking about where he's been, all the head coaching spots he's been. Does he have the most, like, biggest name brands of where he's been a head coach, counting college and NBA? He's been the head coach of, get this, Providence, Kentucky, Louisville, and St. John's, including Iona, in college, and the Knicks and the Celtics in the NBA. Then there's Larry Brown, though, who might have him beat. He's been the head coach of the Denver Nuggets, the New Jersey Nets, the San Antonio Spurs, the Los Angeles Clippers, the Indiana Pacers, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Detroit Pistons, the New York Knicks, and, oh, by the way, in college, UCLA in Kansas, which is incredible. I wonder what my buddy Pat Malacaro thinks about this. He's a big college basketball fan. We bring him on now on the Wester Hotline. Of course, the play-by-play man for the Buffalo Bisons. What do you think? I think Pitino, maybe Larry Brown the most, but Larry Brown and Pitino might have the distinctions, I'd say, Pat, for the biggest name brands of being the head coach in both college and the NBA.
I think you're right. And when you talk about Rick Pitino, he didn't just coach at those locations in college. He was a winner everywhere he's gone. And he's taken all those different programs, which nobody else has done in the history of college basketball, right? Once he took St. John's to the tournament this year. So I think the longevity, getting back to college after unceremoniously leaving Louisville and having to go to Greece for a couple of years and coach over there, and then coming to Iona. So there's a lot of moving parts there, but Rick Pitino has stood the test of time and wasn't even an assistant under Jim Boeheim for a year or two when he was getting his feet wet.
Yeah, he was. He started off, he's actually in Hawaii to start, and then he went his first, he was an assistant, and then he was an interim head coach in Hawaii, believe it or not, in 1976. Then Jim Boeheim hired him. And I believe the story goes that when he went to Kentucky, that's when Jim Boeheim was a guest of his at the Kentucky Derby, and that's where Jim met Julie, his wife.
I didn't know that story, but how about that?
Yeah, no doubt. That's Rick Pitino. And look, at Larry Brown's had a great, successful career, too. He was known kind of for turning some teams around, and he won in a lot of places as well. Pat Malacaro joining me here on the Wester Hotline. How about the tourney? I know you're a big college basketball guy. You've been involved with Canisius, the Metro, and watching it, the mid-majors. What is your kind of consumption of the tournament these days, now that everything has changed so much in college basketball with NIL in the portal?
Yeah, I think, being at the Gallagher Center for Niagara Games or the Kessel Athletic Center for Canisius, to me, I always root for those level of teams because you're right. I mean, now that NIL and even going back to 2018 and 2019 when, the Kentuckys were really starting to see that programs that built four-year programs. Look, Dayton, unfortunately, COVID in 2020, Dayton was trending towards being one of the top teams in the country and having a run in the NCAA tournament. That's what I love to see about college basketball was a Canisius, a Niagara in the Metro Atlantic that could build a program for 2, 3, 4 years and maybe upset somebody. Maybe not a 16, that doesn't happen all that often, but do you get a 13 or 14 seed and be an upset because all you need to do is be better on one single day, and if you've got a core group of players, they can be better more consistently than the one-and-dones. And, you look at Niagara this past year. They were one of six programs in the country that did not return a single scholarship player. And the other program, another one of the programs was Iona. Both of those programs had the same head coach. So four of the schools had new head coaches, and that's why they didn't return any scholarship players. But for Greg Paulus, he had a completely different roster this past year, and it was a work in progress. And that's why you saw some of the struggles for teams like that. But I always prefer those mid-majors that have been building something, just those great stories of the team overcoming years of struggles and finally getting in the tournament.
What do you think about where they're positioned right now? I think Greg Paulus, like you said, he's had to really revamp his roster. Canisius, as we know, has as well. But, going forward, the outlook of the MAC and even some of the other teams that you've seen, like Mount St. Mary's in the tournament as well.
Yeah, I think the future is bright. And that's one of the things that, in talking to Greg Paulus this year, he was very forthright in mentioning, look, the rules have changed so much and they change so frequently that you may recruit one way and then by the time you're done with the recruiting period, the rules in terms of transfers and NILs might change in another direction. So being nimble and being able to adjust on the fly is such a big thing. And I think this past year was an adjustment period for a lot of those level programs, the smaller conference programs that you may only have a player for 1 or 2 years. How do you maximize that? How do you figure out a way to keep a player in your program for a couple of years, whether it's recruiting more into Canada and internationally, because you have more of an ability to build a 2 or 3 year relationship there with players. So I think that's the biggest thing this year for Niagara specifically, for Canisius and Jim Christian. Look, this year was just about getting back into the swing of things and with a new head coach and Jim Christian coming from Boston College previously, he can be a winning coach having coached in the ACC. So I think the brighter days are ahead for both programs, and this is one of those, a reset year, so to speak. And I think going forward in the Metro Atlantic, only 10 teams make the conference tournament because it is a conference that has grown by four teams in the last 2 years, so not everybody goes to Atlantic City. How do you position yourself to at least get in the top 10? And then, you know, in the case of Mount St. Mary's this year, they were not the top team in the conference all year long, but these conference tournaments are so fun. They played well enough throughout the course of the year. They've got that West New York connection. They had a new head coach this season, and they're a good team. And they're one of those stories where they've been building something over a couple of years, and now you go up against Duke today after winning in the first four game. It's going to be a tough road, but they're certainly a school that has really built the way that I like to, you know, watch the tournament.
And by the way, before we get to baseball and the Bisons, a couple of Canisius connections. Want to say happy birthday yesterday to former head coach Jim Barron. He was his birthday yesterday, so happy birthday to Jim Barron. And how about Mike McDonald and what he did with Damon this year? And I know it didn't turn out great for them last week, losing on Sunday to St. Thomas. But, boy, what a fantastic season that Damon, Mike McDonald, and his crew put together.
Absolutely. I mean, you go all the way back to the exhibition play and what they were building, and to run through 20-plus wins without a loss this season, even though it doesn't end up in a completely, you know, undefeated season, losing in their tournament. An incredible job, and I think just a great story of a coach that has really found a great spot for him to build a program, and he's worked so well there, won so many games there, and I think just an incredible story that thankfully I think a lot of the country has come to learn and shine a spotlight on.
Pat Malacaro here on the Western Hotline, the play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bisons. They begin next week. Friday is opening day. How about that, Pat? It's got to be the earliest opening day you can remember, at least here in Buffalo. I know that they've expanded the minor league season a little bit, but holy cow, Friday, March 28th, baseball in downtown Buffalo.
In 140 seasons of baseball, this will be the earliest opener. Last year, it'll surpass last year, March 29th. This year, the Bisons will open at 2:05 against the Rochester Red Wings. So at least, you know, this year you've got that regional rivalry, Buffalo, Rochester, and Syracuse, and the three-way rivalry that we have. So it'll be fun. Yesterday, I hope folks enjoyed the reveal of our reverse retro uniform for this season,
yeah.
Something I had a big hand in kind of bringing to fruition. And I think fans of the early 90s or mid-90s, early 2000s Bisons will like it, and something we'll wear on Thursdays all throughout the season. But opening day next Friday, just a week away, hard to believe. There's still some final cuts. So the Blue Jays have a couple of decisions to make. Yesterday, several players were sent down to minor league camp, including starting pitcher Jake Bloss, who I would expect to be a big part of the Bisons' rotation this season. Someone that was acquired from the Astros last year in the Yusei Kikuchi trade, made eight starts with the Herd last season, and he's a young, up-and-coming pitcher. Actually went to Georgetown for his final season of college baseball, and is really some of the Blue Jays are very high on. Pitched in the spring breakout game, which Major League Baseball has now had all 30 teams play their top prospects in a showcase game, essentially, against another minor league system, and he pitched against Minnesota, four strikeouts and two innings, was named a first-team spring breakout player. So I think the Bison's pitching staff this year is going to have a lot of prospects like Bloss to help lead the way.
Yeah, so the Bison's obviously the parent team is the Toronto Blue Jays. What about guys who kind of we could be seeing in Toronto, we could be seeing in Buffalo, you know, guys that you think could be kind of a little bit on the cusp where maybe have to have a cup of coffee here or there that are right there that guys people should be familiar with when they go to games?
Yeah, I think it starts in the position player side of things. A lot of players that got experience last year in Toronto because of injuries and trades. Mm-hmm. Well, this year the Blue Jays have kind of restacked the deck a little bit. So someone like Leo Jimenez, who was the Bisons' starting shortstop right around opening day last year, potentially could start the season in Buffalo. I know the Blue Jays are very high on him. It's the situation of you've got Bo Bichette at shortstop right now. You're not going to supplant him. So does he get everyday playing time in Buffalo? Alan Roden was the International League Player of the Month in August last year, and he's somebody who was impressed in spring training this year. Very young, went to Creighton, third-round pick in 2022 out of Creighton, so he's only been in pro ball a couple of years, but he should be somebody that if he continues to hit the ball as well as he did, he hit 345 in August last year and over 300 overall in his time in Buffalo, over 71 games. If he continues anywhere close to that, you could be seeing him in Toronto very soon. That outfield in Toronto, they're dealing with some injuries, guys like Dalton Varsho, who is still coming back from a shoulder injury last year. So the outfield could be a spot where you see that up and down movement of some players. And then on the starting pitching, on the pitching side, I mentioned Jake Bloss, but also a left-handed reliever in Mason Fluharty. And somebody talking to the beat reporters in Toronto, I think one of the biggest compliments that I heard for him this past offseason is he's a throwback lefty. He's one of these guys, he's not just a specialist. He is a crossfire action, made 56 appearances for the Bisons last year, pitched the most of any pitcher on the Bisons roster last season, and he's somebody that's still very young. And here's a funny connection. I mentioned the Yusei Kikuchi trade. The Blue Jays acquired Will Wagner, the son of Billy Wagner, last year. He made his big league debut. Well, Will Wagner and Mason Fluharty were college teammates at Liberty, and Mason was kind of the one that almost broke the news to Will Wagner that he was traded to the Blue Jays, and a funny little story there. So those are just a couple of the guys that maybe Bison fans came to know a little bit last year and should get to know more this year, and the fans in Toronto will see him as well.
Take me into the life of a play-by-play announcer for a minor league club. I mean, you got to get to know a lot of different players across a platform that a lot of people aren't as familiar with. Yeah, there's some stars that people know when they're coming up. We all know who Vlad Guerrero was when he's coming up, and you know the Bisons guys. But what's life like for a minor league play-by-play announcer across the AAA level when you're getting ready to take on a series against a team like, let's say, the Durham Bulls, who is the next series, or like Rochester, Worcester, the Red Sox, right? Worcester. What's it like for you?
You know, the thing I always come back to is everybody has a story, and it's finding those stories about players, and it's a six-day series, so not telling every single story on day one is such a big part of it, but, you know, just getting to know the players a lot and doing the research on them, you may find out, you know, that in the past there was a player who was with the Bisons, mentioned Billy Wagner. Well, Billy Wagner was his high school coach, and finding out those stories and expanding on them a little bit and getting to know the player and that comfortability of opening up some of those stories. So to me, that's the biggest part, and some of the most fun of the job is being able to tell those stories and finding out. Maybe a guy years ago talking to a player, he was working construction when he got drafted by the Blue Jays, and you know the story about him going home, leaving his job at the construction site, going home to tell his parents that he was drafted by the Blue Jays. You know, stories like that are just things you come to find out, whether it's doing the research. Maybe they just want, you know, sometimes players want to tell you those stories. So I think that's some of the most fun. And there's over the course of a year, last year there was 80 different stories. 8-0 of Bison's players to tell. So it always, over 150 game season, is a lot of fun. And, you know, even seeing some of the families come to town from time to time and, you know, interacting with them and different stories they have to share as well is some of the excitement of the job.
And the stadium, still the largest minor league stadium in the country, Pat. I mean, like, the capacity, and it's amazing. Stadium, I remember the stadium was built in the late 1980s, and they transitioned from Old War Memorial to then Pilot Field. But it's really a great atmosphere and experience, especially after what happened with the Blue Jays having to come to, you know, to Salem Field and how they redid the stadium. It's a great experience for everybody.
Yeah, I love it. And 16,600, give or take a few seats. You're right. It's still the biggest. We still the big nights like Star Wars night coming up towards the end of May.
Yes.
This year, Harry Potter night. I think that's one fans are really going to enjoy. When you have those big nights, the Friday night fireworks, the KeyBank Independence Eve celebration that we'll have again this year, when you have 16,000 people in the ballpark, it really does have a big league feel. You know, in the middle of the summer, you've got a great game going on. The crowd's into it. You're right. You know, the bullpens are now beyond right field. So it has a little bit of the ballpark has a different look to it now a little bit in terms of, you know, that big league look again. So I think all those things together, that's some of the most fun when you're at a game and it's the middle of the summer and, you know, you're on game 110 of 150. Well, when there's 12 to 16,000 people in the ballpark, it doesn't feel like day 120 out of 150. It feels like, you know, you're in a major league park and it's so fun. So yeah, and the, you know, when you come down to the ballpark, whether it's a Star Wars night, a Sunday where it's family themed, there's always promotions going on at the ballpark too. And our Canadian friends, you know, right now are running a promotion where we're at par promotion, 30% off the ticket price if you purchase from Bisons.com with a Canadian credit card. You can check it out there. You know, different things like that to try and encourage more fans to come check us out, come down to the ballpark, see a game, and you know, stay for the show that we love to provide for fans and families as well.
Before I let you go, speaking of Canada, just a little bit on the Blue Jays from you here, and obviously a tough AL East, but is the story of Vlad and his pending free agency kind of unfortunately overshadowing, you know, this team and this season right now for you?
I think it will be for sure. I think that's one thing, you know, whatever city that the Blue Jays go to on the road, that'll always be the topic of conversation. But I think for Vladdy specifically, I don't think it'll be a distraction for him, and I don't think it'll be a distraction for his teammates. You know, this is something that they've dealt with before in terms of, you know, different players on expiring deals, and they don't get done. But I think for Vladdy, if they just go out and he has a good start to the year, Bo Bichette, who was hurt a lot of last season and struggled to get going, if the Blue Jays opening at home this year, something they hadn't been able to do 2 years in a row because of construction at Rogers Center, if they can get off to a good start, I think a lot of that conversation goes away, and the conversation becomes they're contending for the AL East in a wide-open division this year. I mean, between the Yankee injuries, the Orioles, you know, losing Corbin Burns in starting pitching-wise, and they're still very young. The Red Sox seem to be right there in the mix this year. The Blue Jays, even Tampa Bay, and who knows, with the Rays having to play all their games at George Steinbrenner Field this season. Yeah. And not having a home, so to speak, is that something they can rally around it and kind of build something, you know, that storybook ending. So in a wide-open division, if the Blue Jays get off to a hot start, I think a lot of the contract talk goes further down the list of the talking points and road cities, and they can just get back to baseball.
Pat, have a fantastic season. We'll be listening to you. 1520, the bet, obviously, for Buffalo Bisons games this year. And, of course, enjoy the summer. It's here, buddy.
Thanks, Al. I appreciate it.
All right, you got it. That is Pat Malacaro, play-by-play man of the Buffalo Bisons. Catch him when the games are played here on the Bet 1520, our sister station. In the meantime, we'll take a timeout. My buddy John Scott just strolled in with Heather Prusak and their – I guess almost newborn, we'd say, Logan. I have never met Logan. I have to say hi to him when we get to a break here. But come on over if you want to say hi to me, want to say hi to John, want to listen to us talk a little bit of college hoops and the Buffalo Bills. We are at Wayland Brewing. Come on down. It's 3470 North Buffalo Road in Orchard Park. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up very quickly the hour, and then John Scott joins me at the top of the hour here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.